Well, welcome back to the God School. Let's get right into the teaching. We're in the book of Galatians. Paul's impassioned message to the church today. And I pray God gives me voice and gives you ears that you might hear the truth of the Word of God. We're still in the first chapter of Galatians. Paul says in the 11th verse, "But I certify you all that I am. I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ." I want to just read a little something from James Stewart on that 12th verse. James Stewart, he was a great preacher. He wrote a book called A Man in Christ back in the 1930s. Truth is truth, folks, whenever it is spoken. Speaking of Paul's statement in Galatians 1:12, he says, his own account of it was very different. "It pleased God," he declares, "to reveal his son in me." That goes down to the 15th verse. Let's read the rest of the scripture and then we'll read Stewart's account. "For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion," I'm emphasizing words here, folks, "above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, unmerited favor, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Stewart says, "It pleased God," he declares, "to reveal his son in me. No horizontal line of cause and effect could explain it. It had come vertically from above, the living God, unsearchable in his sovereign freedom, inscrutable in his absolute wisdom, had there and then interposed. And if the thought of a divine initiative runs like a red thread through all Paul's subsequent religion, I would say teachings, if he is never tired of reiterating the great evangelical truth that nothing man may do or endure can bring peace and victory, and that salvation is of the Lord. If his whole life is given to proclamation of the glorious paradox of a God who justifies the ungodly, it is because his own soul owed everything to an experience of which he could say with utter certainty that it was no mere resultant of human and natural forces, but a direct, original act of supernatural grace. Paul goes on to say, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I was taught and have every reason to have confidence in the teaching that this 3 years Paul's referring to, that Paul went into Arabia and was taught personally by Jesus, showing him of the truth of that statement that Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they that speak of me. Paul's contending for his flock in Galatia. This is a church he founded himself, and there are others that are coming in. He's going to tell us of this story coming up. He says, then after 3 years, went I up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, pay attention to this, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he, which persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorify God in me. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. At this point, I said last week, we're going to take a look, because Paul's now talking about this event that's recorded in the 15th chapter of Acts. Acts is written by Luke, the physician, a friend of Paul's, one who was with Paul to the very end, but it's written by Luke. Please understand this. It says, opening the 15th chapter of Acts, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. Fourth verse says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they, Paul and Barnabas, declared all things that God had done with them. Fifth verse, listen. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Listen, these are men having on the day of Pentecost received the Holy Spirit, It says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth," he's talking about his experience in the house of Cornelius. We're not going to go into that, but go read it for yourselves, look it up. "By my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and faith. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God, and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" He's talking about the law. He's talking about performance of the law. He says, "But we faith that through the grace, unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among them, among the Gentiles, by them. Listen. Listen close. Church of God, that is, you who are possessed of God, you who belong to the Lord. "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written." And he goes on and he quotes some prophets. 20th verse says, "But," James is still speaking, listen, "but," put a big circle around that word in the 20th verse, "but that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood, for Moses," here's the head of the church at Jerusalem, the so-called brother of the Lord. He gains his position by a supposed relationship, direct relationship, in and by blood to Jesus. There's no record that James ever followed Jesus while he was in the flesh on earth. "For Moses of old times hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then," listen, "it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner." Listen, here's the letter. "The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from among us troubled you with words subverting your souls and saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Listen to the subtlety. Oh, I thank God for the truth he has preserved in his word. We gave no such commandment. It seemed good. Now look, he's going, hey, we're not responsible for this. We didn't say you had to be circumcised. We didn't say you had to keep the law. He goes on. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Hey, now, you know, so you don't have to be circumcised, and maybe you don't have to keep the whole law. But here's the necessary things: that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. You shall do well. Fare ye well. That's his salutation. Folks, you want to know why the church, to those of us who have an eye to see and an ear to hear, why it seems to be in such disarray? Right here in the first church council, they say, oh, you don't have to keep all the law, but you better keep some. If ye keep yourself, Paul now is going to give his side of the story in this second chapter of Galatians. Then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in vain, or had run in vain. Now Paul's going to tell the inside story. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know what he's describing here? Some of these Jerusalem jerks snuck in to the men's room and checked out whether or not Titus was circumcised. And then started pointing a finger. I question whether you're really saved. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. You're not circumcised. That they might bring us into bondage. Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection? No. Not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference, they added nothing to me. Paul, by revelation of Jesus Christ, having spent 3 years being personally instructed, I believe, by the resurrected Jesus on the whole of Scripture, had a message. And in spite of the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who were at Jerusalem, it did not match up with Paul. What they had to say added nothing to Paul. It's interesting the way the King James translates it. He says it twice. Who seemed to be somewhat. For they who seemed to be somewhat. The Greek word is dokio. And the best that I can make of it is those who had an opinion. Opinions are like bleep. Everyone has one. I hope you could fill in the blanks. I hope you're fleshly enough that you could fill in the blanks. We're not talking about opinions, folks. We're not talking about things of men. Paul says, neither received it of men or was taught it by them, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Opinions don't matter here, folks. The truth is being put forward. Paul's telling they got into one hellacious argument. And he gives the conclusion, they added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the, and it's in parentheses, as of the circumcision unto Peter, Paul speaking, for he that wrought effectually in Peter, that is God, to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed, underline that word seemed, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Are you kidding me? Is there more than one gospel? Paul says, which is not another gospel. But they pervert the truth. My hesitation is, this is a hard statement. But, folks, the reality is, and history records, that this church of the circumcision, no, you don't have to keep the whole law, just keep some parts. What does it say? Sorry, I got to go back to my place. Give me just a moment. Just got to keep, if you keep yourselves. No. The truth is, God called you. God chose you. God is keeping you. As we daily operate in faith, that is, acting on the promises of God, but that church at Jerusalem, in the history of the church, it is the one that has prevailed. You're going to have to stay with this whole message if you don't understand what I just said. It says, when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they couldn't argue Paul down. They said, okay, Paul, okay. Here, let's shake hands. You go about your way, Paul, and let us just do our thing. Oh, but by the way, 10th verse says, only that we should remember the poor. The same, Paul says, which I was also eager, King James says forward, word is eager to do. In other words, you know, we may not agree, Paul, but, you know, support us, poor people in Jerusalem. You know, God bless Paul for his eagerness to do so. I don't know that I'd be so eager. Now, Paul says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Oh, Peter, the first pope, lie. The pope is infallible, lie. Peter was made perfect by the gift of the Holy Spirit, lie. You're made perfect now by the gift of the Holy Spirit, lie. There is flesh and there is spirit. And they are different. No doubt. The Spirit can influence the flesh, but it's not going to change what the flesh is. And the flesh is that which our progenitors, Adam and Eve, caused to be separated from God. But God, through Jesus Christ, and the life he gave for us to redeem us, allowed God now through the Spirit to come back and have a relationship with us in the Spirit. The church constantly attempting to put the law back on and somehow control the flesh. Folks, we are made perfect in Christ Jesus. What else do you want to add? And that is done by faith, for faith, God puts his Spirit in us. By faith, he puts us in Christ and sees us as Christ. His only begotten Son. The church has been trying to add to that which God has done for 2,000 years. And this message to Galatians is Paul's impassioned argument for the life of faith, of grace, unmerited favor, and peace. God's not against you anymore. And we don't perform for our brethren on a horizontal basis. We have this vertical relationship with God and through faith. God looks upon us as he looks upon his dear son, Jesus. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, I remember one time I was having a discussion with somebody about this very subject, and he claimed to be a Bible expert, and I said, yeah, when the James crowd came down to Antioch, they messed up everything. And the guy says, what are you talking about, James? He never said it. And I read him this 12th verse, and he was shocked. He was amazed. Well, one of the reasons he was amazed is because this letter of Galatians, this impassioned plea to hold on to that which you first heard, is never preached, or hardly ever, or when it is, it's taken out of context. That's context. That's why we're going verse by verse. Because he was to be blamed, for before that certain came from James, that is from Jerusalem, he did eat with the Gentiles. He didn't ask whether it was a choked chicken he was eating or not. He didn't ask if that which he was eating was offered to idols. He just came and in the freedom of Christ and in the freedom that Paul was preaching that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was just enjoying himself. But when those sneaky brethren came from James, when those who were checkers out of the flesh came, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Got to please the brethren. I got to make them happy. They need to see my fleshly performance. That word withdrew in the 12th verse, it means to be timid. Paul says in that first chapter, do I preach to please men or God? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Peter, gifted with the Holy Spirit, fell into that fleshly performance and was attempting to please men. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, who had been with Paul so many years and heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and which caused so many Gentiles to come by faith into the Lord Jesus Christ, that so much that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. I saw. That they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, he's going back to when he was sitting and partying with them, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live after Jews? The truth of the gospel was at stake. The truth of the gospel is at stake. Paul goes on to say, I'll stop for a minute here and I'll just say, Martin Luther wrote, of this scene, he said, it's better for one group to be saved along with the truth of the gospel than both groups lost along with the truth of the gospel. Somebody's got to stand up for the truth of the gospel. Otherwise, the truth of the gospel is going to be lost. You want to hear the truth of the gospel? Here it is. Verse 16, chapter 2 of Galatians. Knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be righteousified. You look at me and you see this fleshly body. You can rightfully say, you're not righteous. Yeah, I'm not. Not what you see. But it's not what you see that counts. It's what God sees. For God says, the just, the righteous, by faith, that is, by they're righteous by the means of faith. They're righteousified by the means of faith. They shall live. They shall live eternally with God in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we're just getting started on this. I hope you want to hear more because we'll continue, God willing, next time in this wonderful, though impassioned as opposed to, but I was going to say as opposed to reason and logic that Paul puts forth in his Roman letter. This is an impassioned letter. These people are messing with his children. I'm impassioned. I'm not calling any of my hearers or the hearers of this teaching my children, but they're messing with the children of God. And we shall continue. In the meantime, If the truth of what's being taught here is coming home to you, let me know. All you have to do is hit the comment button. But for now, that's the God School for today.